believing the Lord that he would bring them together to give us a word that is rhema, a right now word from the Lord. How many of you need to hear from God today? Mm-hmm. A rhema word. We're going to continue in the frame of the teaching. The word, the Lord gave me one word this month. He said, grace. And this is our theme scripture this month. Let's read it together. And of his fullness, we and grace for grace. One more time. And of his fullness, we have all received and grace for grace. Amen. Grace being the unmerited favor, the great benefits and divine influence from God. That's what you have. Divine influence. Supernatural favor. Heavenly benefits. We're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to begin at verse 6. Amen. Go back a couple of verses on the wall. Go to verse 6. In the first service, we started at verse 8. But I believe the Lord wants us to start at verse 6. This is rhema. This is for you. Let's pray. All wise and eternal God, here we are. We desire to hear from you. For your word has promised us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Father, we know that the flowers will fade and the grass will wither, but the word of God, it is eternal. So come fill us now with your eternal word. For you have called us into everlasting unto everlasting. For grace unto grace, we are able now to approach your throne. Now we're bold, Lord, because we know you have what we have need for. So we ask you to take us now and bring us all into a oneness, that we may have the ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Break down every barrier that is trying to separate us from experiencing you in the fullness of your glory. And we promise, after all is said and done, that you alone will be glorified while your body is being edified. We declare, Father, that we are your body. And we look to you for guidance. And Father, as I stand here on holy ground, I ask now that you would crush the spirit of Felix. That, Lord, that you would just consecrate this vessel to be used by you, so that your people would hear what you have to say. We thank you and we praise you. Now have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Beginning at verse number 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Mm-hmm. You're in his house. He's right here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Now here's the good part. And he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He says, all we got to do is turn from it, and he'll abundantly pardon. He'll wipe out every bit of guilt that was on your life and give you a clean slate. That's what Jesus did for us. Somebody said, I'm free. Verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I got to pause right there for a minute, because if God's ways are the highway, then quit trying to have it your way. If God's ways are the highway, why would we want to do it our way? Say, your way, God. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please. He said the word from his mouth that comes forth, it won't come back to him empty. Jesus is the word. He sent the word to you, and it won't come back empty. He has owned you. This is good stuff. Now, get the real good part. And the word that he sent to you, that Jesus, that knew you, it says, it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I got news for you. You're the thing. And he's going to prosper the word in the thing. Amen. All right, now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 10. And it reads, Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Sometimes we sow a seed of money expecting money to come back, but God is greater than that. He knows what you need more than money. And so he says he's going to give you righteousness. Oh, goodness. So sometimes we're looking for something on the outside when God is giving you something on the inside. And if you obtain and take the what's on the inside, then you could have everything on the outside. Oh, isn't this good? While you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ. Amen. We glorify God when people confess that Jesus is Lord. It says, your confession of the gospel of Christ and your liberal sharing. Say, I got to share. Sharing with them and all men. And by their prayers for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. There is exceeding grace in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, if you would, go back. We didn't read it. Go to verse number 8. We there? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Amen. Amen. As we are looking at grace being this indescribable gift, I want to talk to you about you. You are gifted with grace. You know, tell your neighbor, I'm gifted. You know, it's something, as we walk through this life, we are found ourselves by human nature to look at what somebody else has or what they're doing and see their gift. And sometimes we look at what they're gifted to do, and we think that that minimizes our gift. Thereby, you could be on the team and sitting on the bench and see out there a quarterback running the field and the wide receiver catching the ball, but you don't have that gift. But yet you're on the bench. But I want you to know, no matter where you are in life, you're gifted. It is a tragedy that the enemy has taken our eyes so that we would see what somebody else is doing, and for whatever reason, take on a complex where we feel that somebody else may be better than us. Isn't it something that you could even go to church and look at the praise team that sings and say, oh, I wish I had the gift to sing. I can't sing, but I could sing. What am I saying? I may not be able to get on tune with them. I may not be able to hit a C flat, but I can let something out of my voice that God loves to hear. I may not do it like them. I may not have a voice like Luther Vandross, but I know one thing. I have a voice unto God, and he has an ear to hear. Even when I'm off key, God is still pleased with what I have to give. Why? Because I'm gifted. I'm gifted. I'm gifted. I'm gifted. It doesn't matter what anybody else can do. Once you realize that you're gifted. What am I gifted with? I'm gifted with everything. Mm. When you began to understand that God's word cannot lie about you and that he has given you the gift of grace, which is sufficient for everything. He has given you so much gifting that it will, listen, it will operate for you when you cannot operate. When God gave you grace, he not only pardoned your sin, but he gifted you with all sufficiency, which means that when you don't feel like getting up, grace will get you up. When you feel like throwing in the towel, grace will have you hold on to the towel. When you feel like you should have lost your mind, grace will sustain your mind. The grace of God is so powerful and such a gift unto the believers that when you tap into accepting all the gifting that God has given you, you listen, you'll never hold your head down again. You can walk around broke as a joke and still know that you have grace upon your life. And if you have grace upon your life, that is the unmerited favor of God, which means that no matter how what your situation states, grace has runs your life and will direct your life. Grace will walk you into somewhere that has told you no. And because grace is on you, they'll turn around and tell you yes. Grace will fill in the blank of a check for you because you don't know what you need, but grace will fill it in and give you everything that you need. Grace. Isaiah begins to talk to us today as he's speaking to us out of the abundance. Because Jesus said in John 10:10, a thief cometh to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. The problem is it's hard to walk in abundance when you don't realize that you already have it. Oh, wait a minute. Preacher, you better help me because I don't get that. I'm struggling right now. Well, I'm going to help you because you are not a struggler. You are an overcomer. The word said, and the truth be told, the only reason why we go to struggles in that is to build you up. You don't have enough muscles to pull the wagon full of goods that God has for you. So he has to put you in the gym called struggling. The struggle will help you endure for a little while. But after enduring for a little while, you shall reap what you have sown. If you have sown good seed, that Bible said those seeds will come back to you. As a matter of fact, seed will be given unto you. You sown one seed, but God will send seed to you. You've been waiting for a harvest, but God says, I'm going to give you a seed. And when you plant the seed, you can get harvest after harvest after harvest after harvest, because that's how grace works. Grace continues to abound and abound. Grace on top of grace on top of grace. He picks up and begins to write about the seed and explains how God works. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We keep trying to figure God out, but you'll never be able to figure him out. You have to faith him out. Which means that you're going to just have to believe him. You can't see to the corner, but you can only see to the corner, but you can't see around the corner. God has already set up everything for you. Your success has been written down, and the reason why it's hard to get to your success is because you keep looking at the failure. It would be something if the farmer gave up farming just because he ran into a rock. It's hard to till soil that runs into a rock. If you got a plow and you run into a rock, you're going to have to maneuver around the rock. As a matter of fact, that rock was a challenge to the farmer. But underneath the rock is some soil that is cultivated by the rock. Because rock was sitting on top of it. Wherever that soil is going to produce the best fruit. Do you understand that God has put rocks in your life so that he can produce great fruit out of that rock? There's some stuff underneath your trouble that God is going to use to bless you. You ought to understand that trouble isn't meant to harm you. Trouble is meant to bless you. Is there anybody in here who ever experienced some trouble in your life? Is there anybody in here that's going through a troubled period right now? But I'm here to tell you, grace has been put in place for your trouble. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I looked at what Paul writes. Paul begins to write, and he begins to talk about sowing. And the first thing, why is he talking about sowing and money at this particular time? Well, sowing money is how God has really used to move his church. But when you look deeply at what he is telling us, is that no matter how much you sow, you'll never be able to give God. God is going to give to the sower. So no matter how much you sow, it will keep coming back to you. And so God is not really after your money. He is trying to get money to you. And so we hold on to what little we have, and God is saying, let that go, because the only reason why you can't get what I have for you is because you are holding on to what little bit I've told you to sow. If you just release it, you can never get more from God with your hand like this. God is saying, release what you got so that I can feel that hand up. My hand is much bigger than your hand, and my ways are not your way. Don't try to figure it out. Just faith this one out. And this is a kingdom principle, so that you know and understand that God does not want your money. That is one of the reasons why we don't sit up here and tell you all these promises that if you do this, you're going to get that. That's not true. You do this, God's going to bless you. That's not true. God's going to bless you whether you give or not. Because that's his nature. He is a giver. He says, I have created you in my image, which means now you have to become givers. Amen. Understand, we were talking about money for a minute, but then he begins to talk about, then you will receive the righteousness. So he shifts gears and says, there's something more that's greater than money. The righteousness of God, which means that you are obeying God and pleasing God, is more valuable than any money than you can ever sow. So then, check, please. God does not want your money. He wants your obedience. And if you obey him, then you can have everything that he has. The Bible says that Jesus was obedient unto death. Jesus was obedient unto death because there was something great to be accomplished through his death. Jesus was going to deliver a great blow to the enemy, which meant that he was going to come against what Paul talks about in Romans 8, that the wages of sin is death. Jesus knew that you were going to be sinners, so he had to set something in place that would save you for the rest of your life, which is called grace. Thereby, the thing that should have gotten you eternal life in hell, because of grace, you get eternal life in heaven. And so we see that we ought to be thankful for this, that one gift. It is what Paul writes as an undescribable gift. This gift that he has given you, it's a gift that is never runs out. And the gift has so much purpose, and the purpose is to make you a giver. See, he conditions your mind to first so you can understand giving. When you sow seed, some comes back to you. When you sow grace, more grace comes back to you. Now, how many of you need a little more grace because God's still working on you? You got some areas that still are not refined. You know, so everybody won't tell the truth, but a couple of us will be like Peter and slip up and cuss somebody out every now and then. But God had grace. God had grace from the beginning of time. We say we are under the dispensation of grace after Jesus came. But in the Old Testament scriptures, it is mentioned that God has grace. 38 times he shows grace in the Old Testament. And he speaks about grace. But he demonstrates grace far more times than that. God has always been a God of grace. And he attached grace to your name when he chose you. Now, here's the thing about God. He had so much grace for you that he put grace on top of grace so that it would hit your children too. Now you can stop worrying about your children being saved, because the same grace that saves you is going to save your children too. Oh, but it gets better than that, because what he did, he said, I'm going to go four generations deep. So he said, I'm going to save your grandchildren too. So you can rest. If your grandchildren are acting up, you don't have to worry about them either. And if you live old enough that you happen to pray for your great-great-grandchildren, here's some breaking news. He put grace in place for them too. They're going to be saved too. It might not look like it, but you may not be able to figure it out, but you're going to have to faith this one out. You just going to have to believe that God's word is true, that his grace is sufficient for you and all the generations after you. Through this comes, Paul says, through this comes thanksgiving. So then the believers always have something to be thankful for. Isn't it something that we're the church and we walk around with our heads hung down when things aren't right? And the only reason why they're not right is because you're not looking at what's right. As long as you look at what's wrong, wrong gets bigger. But when you keep your eyes on him, then you see him high and lifted up. Now get this. He says, my ways are not your ways. He says, my ways are higher than yours. In other words, we live in the natural before we get saved, but when grace comes, we now become supernatural, which means that we no longer live a natural life, but we live a supernatural life. That's why the kids can get this message. In the first service, one kid just jumped and started clapping like crazy because he understands what a superhero is. Huh? Superman can go higher than everybody. Superman can do stuff can't nobody else do. Superman can save folks that an ordinary man couldn't save. And we have to realize that we are supernatural and we don't have to worry about what's down here no more. All we have to do is get up here, because our God is high and lifted up, and we got to let our mind get up there with his mind so that we can call those things that are not as though they were until they become, because we have that power working in us. So Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. He says, we have this treasure which is in earthen vessels. Then he says, the treasure that we have treasure. Get this, we have treasure in us. If you have a treasure in you, then you can go and obtain whatever you want to obtain, because you already have it inside of you. He says, we have this treasure, which is the excellent power of God working in us and not us ourselves. And the problem is, we've been trying to work it out ourselves. And the breaking news is, you'll never be able to work it out. You're going to have to depend on God to work it out as he works you out. So Paul, he says three things. He says, So they had thanksgiving, they had longing and prayers for the saints. He said they prayed for them. They had thanks, and then he said, and then they shared with them. They had thanksgiving, they shared, and they prayed. You know, when I was of the world, there was somebody that knew that I wasn't living right. Paul said, when he was teaching the church of Corinth, he said they were praying. Who is they? Who is they? They are the church of Jerusalem. Okay, so the true church, God's city, was praying for the church of Corinth. Well, what was wrong with the church of Corinth? That they needed prayer. They lacked discipline. Therefore, there was immoral acts in the church because they lacked discipline. So they needed somebody to pray for them because they were disobedient. And that's what happened to us because we are the church. And while we were being disobedient, somebody was praying for you. And I know that somebody was praying for me because my mother used to get me off to Sunday school every Sunday. She would make sure that I was in Sunday school. Now, before my dad did anything, he made sure that he dropped us off in Sunday school. And I didn't get it then, but the Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow old, it will not depart from them. And although I was going to Sunday school, I wasn't getting the word. But here's breaking news. It didn't take me to get it. It took it to get me. And then all you got to do is sit your child up under the word of God, and the word will do that thing. As Isaiah said, though it was sent to do, which is to please God by saving the soul.
So then Jesus is in God or up in heaven, and they know that we're going to be a people that need grace. Mm-hmm. All of us deserve to go to hell with our sin and self. But there's one thing that won't let us get there, and that's called grace. Grace kicked down the door of every sin that was trying to hold you. Grace would not allow sin to take you over. As a matter of fact, grace picked you up and took you over sin. That's why you became an overcomer. Now you are an overcomer, and nothing, no sin will ever be able to take you over because you've overcome all of them. Because no matter what sin come, grace is abounding above the sin, and God's grace is sufficient for you. So then he talks about sharing. Here's some news that I believe God wants you to know today. That he gave you so much grace so that you can be a dispenser of grace. And we thank God for the grace and then turn around and turn our nose up at somebody else when they do something wrong. Anybody guilty of just talking about somebody else's wrong? Isn't that something? That we are so quick to look at what somebody else is doing wrong and begin to talk about it instead of giving out the same grace. Because the truth be told, you're one step away from falling. And the only reason why they messed up and you didn't mess up is because God had his hand on you. And if God take his hand off of you, you're going to mess up too. So you might as well just give some grace so that others can come to Christ, because that's why he gave it to you, so you could give it to someone else. Grace. You're mad. Walking around mad at what somebody did to you. Being mad has never got you nowhere. Except for in the hospital. Chest pain. You wonder why all this illness come from? All this illness come in because grace ain't being released. You start releasing grace, I guarantee you, you feel better. Start looking for somebody to give grace to. Make a list. Oh, this person did me wrong. This person did me wrong. This person did me wrong. Call them up. Hey, I just got a favor for you. I'm giving you grace today. I forgive you. I love you. It don't even matter what you've done to me. I'm just going to mess up and love you anyway. If you begin to just love and get happy about it. Just tell people, oh, no, it don't matter what happened. No, that's over with. I'm just happy today. I guarantee you, you'll stay out the hospital. Watch your blood pressure go back down. Everything starts functioning right when we start functioning right. See, because he called us to be his body. We're his body. We can give out grace. We're different. We can take a licking and keep on ticking. So then Luke, he gives us a prescription. He says, love those that curse you. Kingdom living. He said, love them. They're expecting you. The ways that they're expecting you to get mad at them. They're expecting if they hate you, you're supposed to hate them. That's their way. That's the world's way. But we have grace. So we, instead of hating them, we have enough grace. And even if we feel like hating them, we can mess up and love them anyway. I said, what's wrong? How you? One time some people did me wrong. And I started praying for them. When I see them, I have a big old smile on my face. And they were still plotting to do me wrong. And somebody came to me and said, how are you going to let them do that to you? You need to tell them, stand them. And I said, this ain't my battle. This is God's battle. God told me to do two things. He said, love him and love them as myself. And so even if I feel like hating them, I'm going to mess up and love them anyway. Because I'm no longer under my power. I'm under the power of the vehicle called grace that is working inside of me. I have enough grace to give it out to people. When you have enough grace that when people tell you something crazy and you can just love them anyway and it don't even matter and it don't even affect you, that's when you know that that's the power of God, the excellent power of God working in you. Your treasure is in full effect. You can have anything you want from God because you are truly pleasing God. I want to talk to the people who somebody's just doing you wrong. And you keep talking about what they're doing wrong. And I'm going to help you get free today. I want you to just forget about what they're doing wrong and look at what God is doing right. Because if you look at what God is doing right, then you will allow him to turn your own switch on. See, they'll turn you off, but God will turn you on. And there's nothing like being turned on for God, because no matter what happens, you are happy in Christ Jesus. And when you allow the fullness of joy, what kind of joy? Unspeakable joy. Peace that surpasses all understanding. Then you get up in the morning, play hopscotch, skip dance, jump, shout, roll, tuck and down, whatever it is. But you'll be able to do all things to please God. He says, this gift of grace is indescribable. I had to think about it for a minute because it was grace that saved me. The enemy had counted me out. He had told me all kind of lies. And he told me I was nothing. I would amount to nothing. Because of all the stuff that I was tied to. He said, yeah, you're done. But I know that there was some people praying for me. Because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. See, that's why he said there had to be somebody praying. And no matter what you're going through, just know this. Somebody is praying for you. And if somebody is praying for you, this whatever you're going through will never take you down, but it's going to raise you up. God is only allowing his children to experience hardship so that he could raise them up to be better. Somebody shout better. The enemy wants you to be bitter. The only reason why you get bitter is because there's a difference, an E and an I. And as long as I is in it, then you're going to be bitter. But you don't belong to you no more. You belong to Christ Jesus. Because of his grace. Now, this is what grace did. When I was bound to sin, I could picture in my imagination, okay, it's time. Grace came down and started kicking every door of sin in. Everything that was attached to me, that had me bound, that had me helpless, I became limitless because grace came in and set me free. And what I'm trying to tell you is nothing can hold you bound again unless you put it in your mind. But grace is not of the mind. Grace is of the heart. And grace has been delivered to you, and you have grace to do what? Exceedingly abundantly. Grace is sufficient in all areas of your life. You have it. Now that you have it, what are you going to do with it? What do you do with all this grace? You have more than enough. We talked about sowing. God has given you so much grace that is stacked up for you. That when you sin, grace rushes over and covers it, and God can't even see it. And you have so much that when somebody else has sinned against you, that you can cover that up too. And listen, and take no offense. Because the enemy wants to divide you. Where God is bringing unity, the enemy is bringing division. Every place you see unity, the enemy sends division. In marriages, the enemy sends division. It's a spirit, not a person. The enemy will try to divide a marriage. You start forming a committee, he will send a spirit of division to try to divide the committee. Why does he try to divide? Because he knows the word. The word says where two or more can come together in agreement, they can ask anything and it shall be done. Therefore, when you enter into relationship, he sends a spirit of division. And now check this out. Now I'm going to help you, the ones that have been arguing in your relationship. Because arguing has never got you anywhere. And the truth be told, most of your arguments were silly anyway. Because you arguing over something that you didn't get your way. And the truth be told, the other person didn't even know you wanted it that way. And then you find yourself arguing about something, and then you end up making up later after you done already got your blood pressure high and all of that stuff, and then you done made up later, and then after all is said and done, you happy. But here's something that you really need to know. There's some folks around you that was affected by your argument, and you have to understand that you have so much grace that if the person comes against you, that you need to turn to God. Jesus shows us. He didn't want to go through what he went through in the garden. So he turned to God and began to pray. And God changed him. How come we pray that prayer for us? You need to, God, please change them. If it's happening to you, he needs to change you. And we so quick to blame everybody else, but it's you. You're the one with the issue. God allowed it to happen so he could change you. Yeah, but they did so and so. Yeah, I know they did. But he's in love with you. He wants to change you. So this gift that you have, it's indescribable. I can't pin it in, but you can. No matter what goes on in your life, the favor of God is over your life. You have favor. Check this out. You made it through that last one. You're going to make it through this one. Because the favor of God will never release you. Grace will never let you go. Grace is married to you. Grace will continue to pour over you and bring about change in every area of your life. That's what God has done for you. We look at the Jesus resurrection. We look at what he did, and he died for our sins. We talk about that. But something was happening after the resurrection. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come,
In order for it to fully come, there had to be unity. And if you really want to experience God, you're going to have to break down some of the walls that's separating us from coming together. And that's what grace will do for you. Grace will heal relationships. Amen. If you allow the healing to take place. And don't try to map out how you want them to work it out. See, that's what we do. We're control freaks. Amen. Amen, man. Oh, God, do it this way and make him. And the last time you got it worked out your way, it didn't work. Amen. But God is faithful. Because he had a plan from the beginning of time. That he was going to send his son, Jesus, to rescue you from every sin that you would ever commit. You're rescued. You're free. His ways are not our way. We're free. And because you're free, here's the good news right here. The indescribable gift you have, you are now capable of setting people free. Listen, and it's simple. We gotta quit being many judges. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, they're doing that wrong. They're doing this. Who cares? Let go. God says, just give them grace and trust me. Can I share something with you? It's personal. As I was coming up, I got into a whole lot of sin. I know. I did. Amen. I sinned. And I didn't know how to find my way out of sin. So I thought I was stuck forever. And I went to my mom's house. And she was praying for me. I was wrapped up in so much sin that there was no way for me to pray for myself. Here's how I know that it was God. I went by her bedroom and she was on her prayers. I went back and sat in the kitchen for an hour and a half. I came back. She was still praying. I knew then, I said, I've hurt my mom because she hurt me using profanity for the first time. Amen. But I was out there. So you can't hide sin. God knows all of it. And finally, I left the house and I was burdened. Listen, within 3 days, the Lord began to deal with me. I went to work professing Christ. And I haven't been the same since. Let me tell you, every sin, the dope, couldn't hold me no more. Alcohol couldn't touch me no more. I had a problem with fornication. That couldn't touch me no more. Because when grace comes in, it'll kick down every door of sin and set the captives free. And listen, and the power was because the church of Jerusalem was praying. And when the church of Jerusalem starts praying, it will set the captives free when the release of the indescribable gift. What and who can describe it? Only God. So who do we talk to? Only God. And let God's grace do the rest. Give God a hand of praise. Grace. God gave you grace. He's given you power, his excellent power, so that if somebody does you wrong, you can give them grace. Now, here's the good news. You got to believe, though. Do I have any believers in here?
This is what I know. If God can save me from everything that he saved me from, then he can definitely save you. And the truth be told, there's some people in here that really know what grace is, because you had yourself in a hell of a fix, and only grace could have got you out of your fix. And that same grace is still at work right now. Is there anybody in here that can relate to what I'm talking about, that you can't even describe the grace that has happened in your life? Because if it wasn't for grace, there's no way you would be here today. Everybody, rest to your feet. Rest to your feet. Rest to your feet.